Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon, getting set for the CFL kickoff tonight. It is a Thursday night. It's in Hamilton. It's the Alouettes and Tiger Cats.
Got to play it now.
No, you can't.
Okay, all right.
We're going to hockey.
Okay, all right. Mentioned Thursday night football. I thought you were going to play them.
Nah, we got lots of time. Dave Naylor's coming up. Britton Gray's coming up. We got loads of time for the Recklaws Thursday night football theme for tonight in the Canadian Football League. But also, at 6 o'clock, it's game two of the Stanley Cup Final. It is the Carolina Hurricanes trying to even things up against the Vegas Golden Knights. Tom Galletti joining us from NHL.com, covering the series in Raleigh, North Carolina. Tom, thank you so much for your time on game day.
Oh, glad to be on with you guys. Looking forward to another exciting game tonight.
Yeah, that was a dandy the other night, wasn't it, Tom?
Really good game, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if we expected that kind of game between these two teams and with the back and forth and 5-4. I'm guessing it might not be as open, as many mistakes and as tonight as it would be. Both these teams are so good defensively when they're playing well. I think as we go on in the series, we're probably going to see some tighter games with not as many scoring chances.
To that sort of storyline, is this series more about, listen, I know that defense and special teams, everything's going to play a part in it, but do you think there might be more of a storyline revolving around a coaching battle than past matchups in Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think these two teams play the way they play, you know, and like John Tortorella's kind of tried to downplay his role and everything, kind of more like a guiding role since he took over, and you know, late in the season was at 9 games left, and Rod Vernamore always says, like, you know, he does his part and then players play. So I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a cat and mouse in this game, but I do think there are some matchups to watch. We saw, you know, game one, they had the Hurricanes had Jordan Staal's line up against Eichel's line, and Eichel's line did come back and play better as the game went on, but the, you know, Staal's line, I think, produced 3 goals. So that would be an interesting matchup. And I think as it goes, you know, when the teams go to Vegas for games 3 and 4, I would guess that John Tortorella will try to get away from that a little bit, so just so that Eichel and Dorofeev and Barbashev can just get more opportunities offensively.
As you've been pointing out in your coverage at NHL.com and through social media, there's much to discuss about Aho, Jarvis, Svechnikov not getting going. But today at morning skate, no mix-up. Roddy's being patient. Is patience a virtue for Rod Brind'Amour, or do you think eventually he might have to mix things up with his lines?
I can understand why he hasn't changed anything yet. Like before game one, they had lost 1 game all playoffs, and really all their in the conference final, most of their lines were going. The Aho line has been sporadic, but like I can see him why he hasn't wanted. You know, he doesn't want to change up the Stankoven Hall and Paul and Blake line, and doesn't want to mess with Jordan Staal's line because they had a really good line, really good game last game. So what do you change, right? So I think, but as this game goes on, or as we go, if this goes on further, he might have to change some things, right? So I think he's got kind of like keeping an eye on it, but keeping things as is for now.
Tom, if Vegas wins the Stanley Cup, what did he do with Torts?
What did he do with Torts? I mean, I'd say you have to keep him. But we've seen, I mean, it hasn't happened often that the coach leaves after winning the Stanley Cup. I'm guessing he'd want to stay. And I also guess that if they don't keep him, he won't be out of work long now after this, right? So I don't know. It seems to have been a perfect fit for him and situation coming in late in the season. And he's pulled a lot of the right strings, so he deserves credit for where they are. I don't know, you know, I don't think most people would probably say they wouldn't be in this situation if not for him. I'd say they probably have to re-sign him, but you never know with Vegas, right? They do whatever they feel is best for their team, right? And moving on, and if they feel like this was the situation where they brought him in for this and that's it, I mean, I don't think I'd be surprised at Vegas. They sometimes, you know, it's can be a little bit ruthless, but it's about winning and. So we'll see. But my guess would be they bring him back.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Now, because you're in the room, you'll be at these news conferences. You see the body language. Our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone, Drew Remenda, was talking about it yesterday. that John Tortorella is the king of deflecting credit,
keeping it away from
but making
players.
Sure he takes the heat away from his players. Is he the best at that? Like, when there's something controversial, it's almost like Torts will jump in the way and make it about himself and deflect for his players. But when it's time to take credit, he's like, no, I have nothing to do with this. This locker room functions on its own. I don't really believe him when he says it, but he definitely wants to deflect to the guys in the room on the credit for why they're here.
I do think he is good at, you know, when there's something else to talk about, taking the heat on himself, right? So just so, like, there isn't, you know, and a lot of coaches have, over the years, have been good at that, and that's kind of a key. It can be important, you know. It lets the players in the room not face as much scrutiny when they're all mad, you know, when everyone else is focused on something else. But I mean, I think he deserves credit, obviously, and you know, and I think he will get credit if they win the Stanley Cup here. I think he really deserves credit for what they've done so far. But you know, still three more wins to go for them to finish it off.
Tom, this is probably the most important question we're going to ask you today. Who's winning the NHL.com playoff pool right now?
Oh, I don't know. Definitely not me. I haven't been doing well in my picks. So I think I'm 500, so definitely not me. When you're not in the race, you don't pay attention.
You're not paying attention. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
I think I was 500 through the first three rounds. So.
Yeah, you're 7-7. You picked the Canes to win this one. Yeah.
I know the answer to this. Dan Rosen is leading our picks. I know that.
So. Well, I was just going to say, when Bill Price joined us, it was ahead of the conference finals, I think.
Yeah.
And we brought this up, and I said, Dan Rosen's 11-1, and Bill, without hesitation, said, let me guess, he called you to tell you that? So... So I was, it's like, is Dan like walking around down and going, hey, everyone, 12-2. He's 12-2. That's incredible.
That's for this year. That's insane.
But I don't like his pick for the Stanley Cup final. I like Tom's pick better than I do Dan's for the Stanley Cup final.
I can't say that I have a more credibility behind my pick considering my results so far. So, but no, I don't think that Dan is bragging about it that much. But you know what? Once you mentioned it, I started thinking about it, and it actually came up at lunch today. So that's
There you go.
So I was like, I don't know who's winning it. Then I was like, oh, darn it. It did come up at lunch today.
There you go. Tom Galletti joining us, senior writer for NHL.com in Raleigh, covering the Stanley Cup final. I'm gonna swing it over to, we've had you on plenty of times talking about the Washington Capitals. So I am curious about what you think is gonna happen with Ovi after his final news conference when he pretty well said he'd be open to coming back. When everybody thought this might be it, what do you think of Alexander Ovechkin's future?
This is going to not make this very satisfying for you, but I don't know. I thought I would, you know, a few people were asking me late, let's say like a few weeks left in the season, and I thought he was pretty much, you know, everything seemed pointing that he was not coming back. But as we got closer to the end, it seemed like, I don't know if he changed his mind or maybe I just misread it. I mean, just everything seemed to be pointing like this was going to be it for him in the NHL. And now I'm not as sure, and I think he's taking his time to figure it out. I'm guessing we still probably will find out before the draft or around then what he's going to do. I mean, the Capitals are giving him, you know, rightfully giving him the time that he needs to make the decision because, you know, he's earned it. 21 seasons and all he's done for that organization, he's earned the right to, you know, decide on his own what he wants to do. And then I think if he decides he wants to come back, then they'll figure that out. But I do think that, you know, I think that right now they have plans, you know, with and without him. At some point, they'll need to know which one of those they have to implement. Right now, I think he still has a little bit more time, but we're getting here. You know, the draft's at the end of the month, and going into free agency and whatever trades that could possibly happen. I think they want to know where they are with him.
Tom, if you had to pick a Conn Smythe right now, who are you leaning on?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Maybe Jack Eichel. You know, if it's Vegas, they have some good candidates there. You know,
the harder on the Hurricanes side, yeah.
Yeah, the Hurricanes have some good guys. I think that, you know, Taylor Hall's had a really good playoffs. I think, you know, Frederik Anderson gave 5 goals in the game one, but he's been really solid for them. I don't think his numbers are hard to read because they don't give up a lot of shots, but when he does stay shots, they're really, a lot of times they're quality ones. So I think he's been excellent for them. So I'd probably say those are the two guys for Carolina.
There you go. Tom Galletti, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy game two tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Tom Galletti, NHL.com senior writer, down in Raleigh for game two tonight of the Stanley Cup Final. That was funny, though. Bill Price last week. Dan will tell you all about it. He's like, oh, wait, it did come out at lunch today.
Thought I was just being nice.
All right. He did mention that at lunch, that he was beating us in the pool. Dan Rosen, 12-2 on the NHL.com.
That
picks.
Is impressive. I think I'd probably been screaming that one from the rooftops as well.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I'm.
You're pretty humble when it comes to making correct predictions. What do we still have up there? Brady Tkachuk's gone this summer.
Chiefs missed the playoffs. That was one of my.
Oh, that and the Florida Panthers.
The Panthers, I also nailed that one.
And the Bettman retires, the Canadian team wins the Stanley Cup.
That one needs to stay up there, because I'm not wrong about that.
We'll see. 2030, according to John Shannon. And what do you think tonight? Will the Hurricanes even the series? 1-877-332-8255. Still to come this hour, Dave Naylor. He previewed the West Division yesterday. He's back ahead of game one tonight in Hamilton. He's actually there, part of the panel and part of the crew for their pregame coverage ahead of tonight's game. He'll give us a preview of the East Division and his Grey Cup pick coming up later this hour on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you in the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. We keep on getting spammed by these two. Who am I talking to this afternoon?
Jamie, you've got Justin. I got Wheels riding here beside me.
Sorry. New rule here on the Green Zone. One caller, one phone line. That's the new rule. One caller, one phone line. That's the rule.
Rules are rules.
That's the rule. You just one caller, one phone line. If you can't, I don't know who I'm talking to. It's very confusing to have two people on one line. So,
plus,
there you go.
We don't know what you're doing. You could be in an unsafe situation.
Yeah. So just.
We're doing it for the public as well.
I don't find it fair that you can have two people on one line for all our other callers. So we'll just.
They could be driving.
By the way, for everybody else out there, that rule only applies to Justin and Wheels. Because some of our favorite calls are on post-game shows, and it's like a party bus going back to Saskatoon, and they're sharing the phone. That's fun.
I think people understand why that rule was just instituted just seconds ago.
Well, they're just going to call and say the Golden Knights are going to win. That's their only take. They offer nothing other than go Golden Knights, and that's about as much substance as you get from them. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Game two tonight of the Stanley Cup Final in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hurricanes will try to even the series up at one game apiece. But of course, tonight the CFL season begins. We took a look at the West Division yesterday, so he's back from Hamilton, getting ready for tonight's action. It's Dave Naylor.
Football Hall of Fame writer, TSN insider, and our pipeline to the NFL, CFL, and college ball. Here's Dave Naylor.
Okay, yesterday was the West. Today we take a look at the East Division ahead of, well, tonight's opener. Dave, are you excited? Montreal Hamilton, the East final rematch tonight on the CFL on TSN.
I very much am. This was a very close game, 16-16 down the wire. Montreal wins it with a late field goal and kind of crushes Hamilton's hopes. And this is going to be an exciting game because these are two teams I expect to compete, you know, at the top of the division. I'll be down at the park tonight. I'll be jumping on the pregame show briefly with Kate Burness. The panel is down on set. So, yeah, everything you want in a season opener, we've got tonight in Hamilton. And I'll be there and be very much excited to get going in the 2026 CFL season.
Dave, we have you on today for the CFL East preview. Let's start with the Toronto Argonauts, the biggest question mark in the entire league?
I would say so, yeah. And because you've got a few things. You've got a new head coach. You've got, you know, kind of some new people in the front office with Jim Barker coming on and taking this significant role. And you've got this weirdo schedule that has them playing their first home game on August 8th. Now, I don't think this is actually that big a negative as much as, and people are, seem to be weighting this significantly. I'll tell you two reasons why not. One, I think just the way football players are wired, they just aren't prone to reach for excuses. Like, I guarantee you, if you ask anybody at the Argonauts, you know, how is this going to affect you? It's just not at all, right? They don't reach for excuses beyond the game. And in fact, I'm sure they're using this as kind of a positive, right? They're out there in Guelph, you know, where training camp is usually a couple of weeks, and then you come back to Toronto, they're going to be there for a couple of months, and I'm sure it's going to feel kind of like the displaced team, but I'm sure there's a way you can use that for fuel and fire. So that they are the biggest mystery, and you know, one of the reasons is Chad Kelly's coming back. I mean, Chad Kelly's looked very good at training camp. I think he's had a very positive attitude, you know, just some of the energy and the leadership you can see on the field during practice. This is a guy who the last time he played a full season in the CFL was the best player in the league. And somebody sent me a note last night, and I'll see if I can find it on the fly, of Chad Kelly's record as a starter. If you combine his season that he won the MOP, you know, his career number as a starter, you know, he's got a tremendous winning percentage when you factor in what he did even in the second half of that season. And, you know, the Argos won the Grey Cup, and it became the Nick Arbuckle story, but it was Chad Kelly, you know, who led the Alouettes, or led the Argos into Montreal for that East Division final and put them in position to win it. So, I expect that Chad Kelly will be pretty close to what we saw in Chad Kelly the first time around this year. And that's the biggest factor for them. You know, I think there's some certain changes on defense. You know, Whit McManus is gone. They signed Darius Pickett. You know, they have a linebacker's taking over. D'Arcangelo's taking over for McManus. That's a guy who played significantly last year when McManus was out. So it's not like they're promoting somebody who, you know, hasn't shown an ability to play the position. They've added some meat on the offensive line. Dakota Shepley, former Saskatchewan Rough Rider, comes back from the NFL. They signed him to a decent contract. You know, the big question for me is going to be the run game here, because, you know, Toronto's run game is basically non-existent last year. And the guy that some people would have liked to see playing for them last year is now the running back coach in Kadeem Carey. But they're going to go raw at running back. You know, they've got kind of a thunder and lightning duo in Quintero Jones and Sam Hicks. And I'll put it this way. I do not think the Argonauts are going to be as bad as everybody thinks. I know they're ninth in everybody's predictions, and if they finished fourth this year, I wouldn't be shocked. But if they finished fourth and they're 5-13, I would be shocked.
All right, let's go to the Ottawa Red Blacks, spending big money again, bringing in Ryan Dinwiddie. They moved to Jake Merrick, quarterback. They're a team like Edmonton. They have not had a lot of playoff experience the last couple of years. Like 2 years ago, yes, but outside of that, it's been crickets. So what do you think of Ottawa? Can they turn this thing around in year one under Ryan Dinwiddie?
Well, if they can't, it won't be because they didn't change enough things, because they've changed, it feels like, everything. I mean, it really is. I mean, even the one thing we all thought going into camp was going to be the holdover was the quarterback, and then they changed that. So, you know, Jake Mayer is your starter. Drew Brown is your backup. Ottawa, similar to Toronto, has just been a team that really hasn't had a consistent run game for a number of years. And they went out and signed Greg Bell from Hamilton, who was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. I think they think when you pair him with Daniel Adebaboye, you get a decent 1-2 combination. The thing about Ottawa, even the last few years, even the quarterback play has been poor sometimes, and they certainly have the stacked wins. They are a team that has a lot of offensive skill talent. I mean, Eugene Lewis, Khalil Pimpleton, Justin Hardy. They've added Aiden Eberhardt. And, you know, I thought Keelan White, as a rookie last year, one of the players at the top of the draft, really kind of established him well. Nick Mardner is a guy who was the number two pick of the draft 2 years ago. So they should get some production from their Canadian receivers. And, you know, they've stacked the offensive line. It's been an issue for a number of years. They've added Martez Ivy, and, of course, Vaccaro, the Winnipeg kid who comes over and played at the University of Manitoba, is the top pick overall. I expect if he's not starting, you know, he's certainly going to be a strong rotational player. So it's all new on offense, and yeah, it's pretty new on defense as well, particularly in the middle. When you look at their linebackers, you know, when they've added Niles Morgan from Edmonton, AJ Allen, of course, from Sask, and CJ Revis as well. So, you know, it's all new personnel. One of the things you would just ask about a team with that many new players is how is that going to come together? And, you know, Jake Mayer hasn't been a starter since the Calgary years. Look, I think Ottawa's going to be competitive this year. The preseason, they look very good for whatever that is worth, but it's all new in Ottawa. And then Ryan Dinwiddie, you know, a coach who with a proven winning pedigree. I think that was important for them as well.
Dave, you got Bo, you got Kenny in Hamilton. We'll shift to the Tie Cats, but they've lost a few pieces from last year. Greg Bell, Tim White, a few offensive linemen. Do you think the Tie Cats remain in the top tier of teams in the CFL with what they put together in the offseason?
You know, the real question for me is going to be on defense, and Whit McManus is going to start the season. He's not going to go on six game, but he's going to miss some time. And look, I love Whit McManus. I think he's, you know, one of these players that has an incredible combination of physicality and athleticism. I mean, you can watch him blow somebody up at the line of scrimmage one play and watch him, you know, knock down a pass in the end zone the next. You know, not many guys can do that, but he missed some time last year in Toronto. He's had a preseason injury this year. So even to start the season, I think that's an area of concern. They've also got, you know, some new bodies in the secondary. So I think defense to me is the side of the ball that, you know, they had a couple retirements as well, guys that they expected were going to be contributors. So I think they're thin right to kind of begin the year this year. And so if they suffered a few more injuries on defense, that could be an area of concern. You know, they've added Trevor Reed on the offensive line. Kolonkowski as well is going to play center for them, who comes over from Winnipeg. But I think this is still a pretty deep group, you know, when you look at offensively. Bo Levi Mitchell, I think people sell Bo Levi Mitchell a little short here, right? It's the first time in his career he's had back-to-back 5,000-yard passing games is the last 2 years. 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions a year ago. I mean, he's kind of seen as some shadow of what he used to be. But I'm telling you, at 835 a year ago, you know, he was among the best he's ever been. So I think Hamilton's a team that I think there's some vulnerability there just because of some of the turnover. And like so many teams, if they can stay healthy, I think they're going to be okay. But if they start to suffer some injuries early in the year, particularly on defense, I think they could be vulnerable.
That is Dave Naylor. He's coming up with his Grey Cup prediction. We'll also talk. I know we didn't talk about the Owls. I'm going to ask him about the Owls and his Grey Cup prediction coming up next. Plus, what is your Grey Cup prediction? Tonight is the night. 2026 CFL season begins. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie Locker with you as we are under 2 hours away from kickoff in Hamilton for a new CFL season. We're asking you for your Grey Cup prediction at the beginning of the year. What do you think is going to happen this season? We're going to get to Dave Naylor's Grey Cup prediction in a couple of minutes here. But first off, Dave, I know we haven't talked about the Montreal Alouettes quite yet, but here's the question for the Owls. Do you see them repeating as Eastern champions?
I think they will. And I think last year, guys, my prediction was Ottawa and Saskatchewan, right?
Ottawa did come out of your mouth, yes.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, they won 4.
And Britton Gray.
I was just going to say, you're not alone. You've got company. Britton Gray was sitting on that prediction as well.
Well, if I was hunching on a team that I thought was going to break out a year ago in the East, I'm going to go the other direction this way and go with this tried and true in the Montreal Alouettes. Now, you know, they do have some deletions in the defense. You know, Marc-Antoine Ducroix is gone, and he's certainly an impact player, one of the best safeties in the CFL. But they've got a guy named Jonathan Sutherland who's stepping in for him. I am absolutely certain he would have been the number one pick in the draft 4 years ago, except he signed an undrafted free agent deal with the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, they've filled that hole. You know, Darnell Sankey gone. You know, they've still got some depth and some beef on that defensive line. And offensively, they're very consistent. I mean, I just think, you know, the Austin Mack thing, but they managed to kind of survive without him a year ago. And as I mentioned, I think Tyler Snead, the most underrated player in this league, you know, perhaps was fifth in receiving yards, sixth in receptions, 78 yards receiving in the Grey Cup, led them in receiving in the Eastern Final. You know, he catches everything that's thrown at him. And they kind of evolved into that two-back American running back with Stevie Scott last year, you know, as kind of leading the way. And, So I think Montreal, one of the things about them is, you know, when they won the Grey Cup, you know, 3 years ago, it was kind of like you had the opportunity to really get on a bit of a run because you did it so early. You weren't like, say, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, where half your roster got picked over in free agency. You've really been able to keep the band together. That's been I think you look at this roster right now that's coming into this year, it's very much like the roster that played a year ago, very much like the one of 2 years ago. So, yeah, I'm taking Montreal to win the East.
All right, final prediction. If it's Montreal in the East, who's in the West, and who's lifting the trophy in Calgary later this year?
I'm going Montreal, BC, with the BC Lions raising the trophy on a cold night at McMahon Stadium in November. There you go.
Yeah, I've got the same prediction, Dave.
Okay. Well, you know what they say about great minds, Jamie, right?
Well, you agreed with Britain last year, so I'm glad you're on my side this year.
That didn't work out so well.
We're in choppy waters here.
I'm moving over to your side.
Although Britain will appease our listenership because Britain is going for a repeat for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, as is Daryl Davis yesterday on the Green Zone, picked a rider repeat.
Add me to that list.
There you go.
I mean, I just think it's a tough, tough division to repeat it. You know, I just think, I mean, look how close Sask was a year ago, right? I mean, not to take away anything they did, but end of the season, one play, right, in the West Division final to get to the Grey Cup. And, you know, Shea Patterson fumbled on the goal line and then retired. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was, the margin was thin a year ago. I think it's a very tough division to repeat in. That's all.
Well, Dave, we'll leave it there. Enjoy night one of the Canadian Football League, and we'll chat next week.
I can't wait for it, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
That is Dave Naylor from Hamilton. In about an hour and a half, you'll see him on TSN getting you set for the debut game, the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Montreal Alouettes, an East Division rematch. Our prediction, you said Hamilton, Saskatchewan with a Riders repeat.
Yeah.
I'm going BC Montreal with the Nathan Rourke quadfecta. Most outstanding player, most outstanding Canadian in the regular season, and then he'll win Grey Cup, most outstanding player, most outstanding Canadian, and it'll be the BC Lions. Maybe wearing their, what are they? The Pacific Frost jerseys? Which actually grew on me over the last 24 hours, to be honest.
I'm not there yet. I saw something with Bo at the end of that game, the Eastern Final, and I thought it was a retirement in his eyes. Turns out, not the case. I think he wants another crack at it. I think he's going to drag that team. Him and Kenny are going to drag that team back to a Grey Cup.
But they'll fall short against the Rough Riders. Of course, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, the only team in the CFL that hasn't won a Grey Cup this century. Their last Grey Cup championship came in 1999.